Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We talk about marketing a lot. We talk about sales a lot. But merchandising will become one of the more coveted disciplines in this entire space. The companies that can do that well, the executives that can lead those efforts really well, will have an advantage over others.
We will certainly find more ways to connect with our customer in the physical arena. And I think we take so many of those learnings back to how we connect with them in the digital arena. I think for us, we still believe there's many, many more iterations of how we can make that physical experience in the commerce part more streamlined, more frictionless, and the connection part more immersive.
Hi, this is Imran Ahmed, founder and CEO of The Business of Fashion. Welcome to the BOF podcast. It's Friday, July 23rd. The role of physical retail has changed drastically over the last few years as more consumers turn to digital channels, particularly amid the pandemic, and brands have sharpened their focus on e-commerce. But physical stores are still an important touchpoint between customers and products. And during this month's BOF Professional Summit, What's a Store For?, I caught up with Krishna Nikhil, Chief Merchandising Officer of Essence, based in Montreal, and Webb Smith, founder of the media company 2PM, to talk to them about making store a place for immersive experiences without diluting their purpose for acquiring customers. Here's Krishna Nikhil and Webb Smith at the BOF Professional Summit. Welcome, Krishna and Webb. It's great to have you with us. I wanted to start, Krishna, with you. Essence, which is based in Montreal, a few years back, pre-pandemic, it opened something that you are all calling an immersive flagship. As a digital retailer, this was a, unusual move. First of all, why did you need to open a flagship? And what makes an immersive flagship different from a regular retail store?
Thank you, Imran, for having me. And I think the way you framed the question at the outset is exactly correct, is how do you create an immersive experience while making sure that it's relevant to your audience? And I think for our audience, who are disproportionately millennial, and Gen Z, they are very open to a brand like ours having a perspective that is broader than just fashion and the products that we sell. And that really speaks to the success of our online editorial platform. But they are also highly attuned to something that doesn't feel appropriate or sits out of context. And so I think it's so important to think about how do you create something that is meaningful for the customer. And for us, that really started with this idea of how do we reinvent how commerce takes place in the store? And so before our flagship, we had a small boutique store, and we saw this behavior amongst our best customers where they would come in and ask to try on items from our vast online assortment through personal shopping appointments. And we said, if a small number of customers want this, why not democratize it and make it accessible to everybody? And so we built a technology and operational backbone that allows anybody to come in, book an appointment, and try on any item from our extensive online array. And, you know, we immediately saw a strong uptake from this. We have as many as 150 appointments a day in the store. And so this is an appointment-driven model, not as a gimmick, but it's the actual commercial engine that drives the store. And what that has allowed us to do is really liberate a significant amount of floor space for a more immersive experience. And so we started to think about how do we do cultural programming in a way that's relevant as a store, because you're not going to do it in the same way that a gallery does it or a museum does it. And for us, it was really in a similar way that we had done in the digital sphere. It's bringing product and content together. So one of our first special projects was with Virgil Abloh. We recreated his Chicago home studio one-to-one in our store. We sold product that were replicas of his sketches, customized Air Force Ones, and we really saw a strong positive response from our audience. More recently, we've taken that same learning and we partnered with Burberry very recently. We took over their store in Soho, New York, and really brought that same idea of product and content together to create a more immersive experience. We had an installation that really changed the flow for customers through the store and really focused on those two things, exclusive product capsule and a really powerful short film that we commissioned with Torso that really speaks to, it's a meditation on change and really the energy that's in New York right now. And I think that is how, for us, we think about why we need a store. It's creating more immersive experiences for our audience.
So Christian, I saw a lot about that Virgil Abloh experience that you created a couple years back. I'm wondering how you used or made use of this immersive space that you created amidst all of the challenges of the pandemic. Was there any way of kind of activating that space or continuing to kind of engage customers in the absence of being able to use the space physically?
Yeah, for us, during the pandemic, the store was, according to protocols, locked down. We obviously still found ways to use our online presence to serve our customers. But what we did do is we took the learnings from what it takes to create a immersive physical experience and reapply them to digital. In digital, everything is so fast. The attention span of the customer, they spend 30 seconds or 15 seconds on something you post or an article on your editorial platform. And we created digital microsites that essentially were replicas of the physical experience. And we even do this today now as we have physical experiences. We have the physical immersion in Burberry Soho, but we also have a microsite on our site, which allows people who can't experience the physical to experience the digital. And what we're seeing with these new digital microsites is that people are spending much longer amounts of time in them. We see upwards of 7-8 minutes spent in these immersive digital worlds.
Got it. Web, I'll turn to you now. I mean, you've got such a following in this direct-to-consumer space where brands like Away and Glossier and, you know, Warby Parker, you know, pre-pandemic had started prioritizing retail because they saw the evidence in the numbers that when they opened retail stores, the digital sales also went up. You know, how have you been advising and talking to your DTC clients and the DTC community that you engage with about the role of physical retail post-pandemic? What's changed? You know, how has your approach changed? How has the approach that some of these brands have taken changed as a result of everything that we've been through over the last 16 months?
Sure. And thank you for having me. I would say that the audience that I'm appealing to here is a little bit younger as far as the maturity of the company itself. So these are companies that are still going from zero to one. That tends to take a little bit more creativity and, frankly, a little bit more luck. They're not as established as a lot of the traditional brands or the generational brands that that were mentioned earlier. And so it's in some ways a little bit more difficult for them to build the cachet required to match these companies. One way that they do that is through really savvy merchandising. So I look at companies like Rowing Blazers that still found ways to operate throughout the pandemic through pop-up formats. You walk into their storefronts and it's, you know, I would say 30 to 40% actual merch. And the rest of the experience itself is the experience that the brand is trying to present to the consumer. Obviously, as mentioned before, we're talking about different mementos and the history behind the actual development of the products and associations with other things that sort of inspire the customer to think about how the merchandise itself would apply to their lives. That immersive experience is available whether the product, whether the brand is young or old. It just takes a lot more work if it's a little bit younger.
When some of these DTC companies are thinking about opening a physical store or opening or setting up a pop-up, how are you advising them to think about where they do that? You know, these companies are reaching, you know, many cases, not just like national audiences in the US, but international audiences. You know, Krishna, you have a similar situation. You know, Montreal is the home of Essence, but Montreal isn't the exclusive domain of the Essence customer. So maybe, Webb, to you first, when you think about location, what are the considerations of how to pick the right locations?
Well, I think Krishna and I would both agree with this. You want to go for the Class A locations, right? You want to go where the brands have the best opportunity to appeal to the types of customers that are most likely to buy their products. And that tends to be right now the wealthier customer, which has been more insulated from not only job losses, but also any sort of disruption in pay or health. Typically, the wealthier customers right now are more likely to have come out of the last 15 months I don't want to say unscathed. I think everyone was affected, but maybe less scathed. And so you're looking at Class A malls. You're looking at great urban shopping centers that have been redeveloped to appeal to an elevated audience. So you can find these anywhere from New York to even Pittsburgh. Austin, Texas has a great example in South Congress. There's like a cluster of these brands from Double RL down to, you know, the D2C brands that we talk about. And so, yeah, I think it's possible as long as you're focused on the right parts of the country and the right parts of those cities.
Krishna, how about you? I mean, I guess Montreal was the natural place to open the first Essence immersive flagship, but you have, you know, a big North American, you know, audience, a growing international customer. How do you think about, you know, if appointment-based selling is so important to that customer, I guess, who's in Montreal or visiting Montreal, how are you thinking about extending this physical retail, immersive retail approach that we've been discussing beyond the Montreal HQ?
Yeah, I think for us, there is so much power in collaborations, in partnership. We already have a global audience that is looking to connect with us. I think the partnership and collaboration we just had with Burberry allowed us to create a physical experience in New York. We will certainly find more ways to connect with our customer in the physical arena. And I think we take so many of those learnings back to how we connect with them in the digital arena. I think we're also a much more about a company that talks about things after we've done them. So I do think while there will be more things that we do in the physical space, we'll stay tuned for more on that.
Okay. Ever the secretive executive from the secretive company. All right, let's talk about, you know, changes. You know, you're both, you know, immersed in the space of retail and, you know, digital brands that are kind of creating physical presence. Do you think physical retail has changed enough to catch up with this current moment with all the behavioral change, you know, with the shift and acceleration of online sales, with the kind of consumer psychology of being afraid or somewhat reluctant to be in crowded spaces with lots of other people. You know, Krishna, I'll go to you first. You know, what is changing? Is it changing fast enough? Are you seeing enough momentum around some of these topics around physical retail?
I think it's a great question, and I don't think I can answer for other people, but I think for us and our customer, the expectation after what we've been through has changed significantly in terms of how they want a more frictionless experience for the commerce part in a physical store, but they're also willing to find more ways to connect and create a sense of community in those physical spaces. And I think 2 years ago, pre-pandemic, we felt like maybe the core model of the physical store is a bit out of date. And we started trying to reinvent that physical and commercial engine. So I think for us, we still believe there's many, many more iterations of how we can make that physical experience in the commerce part more streamlined, more frictionless, and the connection part more immersive.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Have you ever owned something that inspired you to up your game? For me, I got a chef-grade range recently, and now I'm cooking new things every single night. Seriously, no cuisine is off limits. The point is, when we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. I can picture myself with a car full of groceries, cruising down the highway, soaking up the sun with the available dynamic Sky Panorama glass roof. Ugh, pure bliss. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you feel like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things you love are checked by experts. And not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff, with real, hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
So how does that work in practice? Maybe you could just describe to us, you know, for those of us, myself included, who haven't had the chance to visit your immersive flagship in Montreal, like Paint a picture of us for us of what it's like inside and how you're connecting and blending this digital physical situation.
Yeah, so the way we view it is, you know, our customers, they probably disproportionately have our app on their phone. They're always building a wish list of the new arrivals that they want to buy or try on. And the appointment experience is really that simple of you go through your wish list and add any of the items you want into an appointment and pick a time. That appointment is yours, whether you need someone helping you or not. That product's going to be sitting there waiting for you when you come into the store. And we've really built this operational backbone and a flow of goods that is different than any other store in the world. And I think what we are doing is giving both a great experience of with product, but also giving time back to that customer who otherwise would have to come through the store, walk around, pick the items, find a fitting room. And that time back is about immersion in all the other experiences that we create in the store. And I think for us, we've really focused on creating big moments, the sort of Virgil Abloh takeover. We have an equivalently big moment coming in September that I'm hoping you will come join us for in Montreal. I'm going to try to get that onto your calendar.
All right. Well, keep an eye out for it. Webb, how about you? DTC, as we discussed earlier, you know, everyone is already dipping their toes into physical retail. I know certain parts of LA, I could see, like, you know, as you mentioned, you know, a few of those brands clustered together. Are these brands, these DTC brands, changing their approach to physical retail now as opposed to some of the behavioral shifts amid the pandemic? Or is it, you know, back to the kind of same formula?
Really good question. Here's how I see it. It's a much larger picture. So you have specialty retail, which we all know really well, is somewhat crumbling, right? Under the weight of over-leveraged books and the lack of foot traffic required to keep them profitable. You have these direct-to-consumer brands, this new class of companies that is, you know, each of them seem to be on the path to IPO in the coming year. They are taking these spots because they're being incentivized to do so. Frankly, customer acquisition is a lot cheaper there than what would be typically found online. Obviously, the pandemic is one exception where e-commerce was the only way, and so customer acquisition cost was relatively low, but that's almost back to normal now. These storefronts are the cheaper way for customer acquisition for a lot of these companies. And mall developers, mall owners are begging them to take these spots because not only are they losing these spots given the loss of specialty retailers, you know, the L brands and so on and so forth, Ascena Retails, but also because millennials and Gen Z customers are attracted to these companies and it's getting them into these physical locations. So they are taking the old playbook and applying it to their modern retail format.
And what happens, Webb, to the non-prime locations and some of these? I follow you on Twitter and you're always like, snap, everyone should follow Webb on Twitter, by the way, because he's got like a great Twitter voice. But, you know, you're constantly, you know, making these observations about some of these old school brands and how they're not keeping up. And there's all of this class B or class C. Like, what happens to the people or the companies that haven't thrived during the pandemic for a variety of reasons? What do you see happening to this, all of this excess retail space in the US?
Well, where you're sitting right now, I think per capita, it's 12.3 square feet per capita. So that's about where it's supposed to be. That's generally most of Europe. In East Asia, it is closer to 6 square feet per capita. In Canada, it's 16 square feet. In the United States, it's 23.5 square feet per capita. So what that means is 40% more than Canada, almost double the amount that you would find anywhere in Europe. We have too much retail, and most of that retail is Class B and Class C. To answer your question succinctly, it's going to be empty. Obviously, we hope that there's new and inventive ways to redevelop these projects into warehouses or, you know, apartments or you name it, maybe green space. But for now, for the next 10 or 15 years, we're going to have an issue with a lot of empty buildings or suboptimal buildings that are breeding grounds for things that you don't want in your communities.
So We all believe in the importance of physical retail. It's here to stay. You know, the strong brands are going to be in the top locations. You know, they're going to continue to drive their, you know, digital interactions with customers, but they still value the physical interaction with customers. I'm curious, I know you're both very data-driven executives, so you're both very analytical, which is why I enjoy speaking with you both so much. When you're thinking, Krishna, about measuring the impact of, you know, the Essence flagship, it has to go beyond kind of sales per square foot, right? It has to go beyond just footfall. How do you measure the success of an immersive flagship if the goal isn't simply just to sell more stuff?
Yeah, I think with such a multifaceted goal, your measurement has to be equally multifaceted. And for us, we do absolutely look at commercial metrics like how many appointments per day are we getting? What's the conversion rate of those appointments, which for us is an extremely high number because people are coming with intention. If you're doing exclusive product, what are the product sales? But those commercial metrics tell a portion of the story. The other part is how deeply is your audience engaging with you? How much time are they spending in the store to see an exhibit or whatever you're putting forward? Is it bringing a new audience in, or is it just catering to your existing audience? And this is also really where the digital experience has helped us with measurement. So by extending the experience from the physical to the digital, it also gives us more information on how our audience is engaging with it. How much time are they spending on this microsite? Are they watching this short film we put all the way through, or watching the first 30 seconds of it? And I think as you think about combining these physical and digital experiences, I think you have to think about measurement in analytics in the same way, is how do you combine analytics across two platforms?
Web, how about for these DTC brands? You know, these are, you know, significant investments. What do you advise DTC players to focus on when considering the success of a physical store alongside what is, you know, predominantly an online e-commerce operation?
I am a proponent of owned shopping experiences. So obviously there are a number of marketplace opportunities for younger brands like that. There are, you know, you can look at Showfields. There's a number of them, Beta. And I would say that brands should focus on capturing the customers in their own spaces where they have complete autonomy to present exactly the format that they would like to present and the messages that they want those customers to take away from them.
How about some final words of advice? We have, you know, thousands of BOF professional members from around the world who are, you know, building their businesses, working in companies, trying to, you know, solve these problems and understand how to, like, really add magic. You know, Andrew Keith and I were talking about the magic of retail. Maybe Webb, you first. You know, your top tips on really creating meaningful, immersive, memorable experiences in physical retail.
What really excites me is when you're selling a product, whether it's a shirt, a pair of pants, whatever it is, what are the associated things, the moments, the history, the accessories that you would merchandise it with, the history of the industry itself? Like, what are those things that you would associate with the sale of those products? Having that around in a physical space is incredibly inspiring, no matter what it is that you are actually trying to market to the customer. And I think that we talk about marketing a lot. We talk about sales a lot, but merchandising will become one of the more coveted disciplines in this entire space. The companies that can do that well, the executives that can lead those efforts really well, will have an advantage over others.
Give us some examples. Who's best in class?
Oh, you walk into any LVMH brand and they do a great job in store, right, in Soho, whether it's luggage or puffy coats. You see that when you walk into those stores and you see luggage from 30 years ago, stickers on the wall from places that customers visited, you know, 40 years prior. And it sets a dynamic that reminds you that not only has this brand been around for a while, but it's going to be around for a long while. And that gives you the assurance that the purchase that you're about to make, especially if it's expensive, will pay off in the long run.
Krishna, final thoughts from you. Top tips on creating memorable, immersive, valuable experiences in physical retail?
For me, it's about asking yourself the hard questions. And we think about it through three lenses: commerce, culture, and community. On commerce, have you done enough to reinvent the way commerce happens in your stores? On culture, what is really the point of view that you can authentically put forward that's going to make the experience more immersive? And then on community, are you reaching out to collaborators to make your experiences more immersive? And from a store standpoint, the single best community you have are the employees that work in stores. And often the very best ideas come from them. The idea of the appointment model that Essence Montreal is predicated on came from store employees making it happen for their customers.
Such good advice from both of you. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure to have you. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the BOF podcast for our look inside fashion and how it connects to currents in the wider world. If you're not yet a BOF professional member, join today with our 30-day risk-free trial and benefit from exclusive access to agenda-setting analysis you won't find anywhere else. The BOF podcast is edited and produced by Emma Clark, Kate Vartan, and Kevin Bobby Blanco in the BOF studio team.
You know that's the sound of another sale on your online Shopify store. But did you know Shopify powers selling in person, too? That's right. Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere. Online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/BOF, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BOF to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/BOF.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.